Could it be too much transparency?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, happy Friday. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. A House panel approved an amendment late yesterday that would force the oversight of everything the Federal Reserve does. But critics of the measure say the Fed needs to be protected so it can do its job. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York bureau this morning. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So this measure was sponsored by the Texas Republican Ron Paul, who's a lifelong or a long time critic of the Fed. I mean, what does it say?
You know, it sounds crazy, but Ron Paul has actually been introducing versions of this in Congress since the early 1980s. This is the first time it's gotten any real support, though. The measure calls for the Fed to open up all of its books and meetings to the Government Accountability Office for auditing.
Are you telling me that right now the Fed operates without any oversight?
No, not at all. All of its emergency actions, bailouts and emergency loans and the like, are public. Fed meetings, so where they discuss interest rates, for instance, are done in private. But even there, we do get minutes of the meeting after the fact.
Why not open it all up? I mean, isn't the Obama administration all about transparency?
It is. But a lot of people are worried that by making all of these discussions public, it could leave the Fed vulnerable to political pressure. So the idea is that if the Fed felt like it needed to take some action on inflation, say, that turned out to be really unpopular, then Congress could make a big fuss and thus force the Fed to do something else.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth with us from our New York bureau. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Checking stocks this morning, European shares pretty much flat right now. They were up for a time today, but now they're pretty much even. In Asia, stocks closed mostly lower. Japan's central bank keeping its interest rate a hair above zero. On Wall Street yesterday, a lackluster first-time jobless claims report. Some other weak economic data kept investors pretty subdued. NASDAQ shares tanked by more than 1.5%. The S&P gave back 1.33%. And the Dow closed lower 93 points at 10,332. European Union leaders have chosen their first ever European president. There had been a lot of talk that the title should go to the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Sure, he was used to rubbing shoulders with world leaders. But Europe went with someone a little more unassuming, as Christopher Worth reports.
Europe's new top job goes to Belgian Prime Minister Herman Van Rompuy, a figure that until now was relatively unknown. The speculation in Brussels is that many EU leaders, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel, didn't want an EU president who might overshadow them on the world stage. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum.
So at the end of the day, you're not electing the king of the world. You're choosing someone to broker compromises between the 27 member states.
But while Merkel was the key decision maker, Germany never put its own candidate forward. Merkel may be keeping her powder dry for when it comes time to choose a new president of the European Central Bank in 2011.
The understood arrangement is that Axel Weber, the head of the German Bundesbank, will become the next president of the European Central Bank.
Mather says the position is important to Germany because it wants tight controls over inflationary policy in the Eurozone and how banks are rescued in any future economic crisis. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Oprah Winfrey's production company says it'll end the show after the 2011 season. The loss of the Oprah Winfrey Show is a blow to CBS because it earns a percentage of hefty licensing fees from TV stations that use it. When it stops production, the show will have been on the air 25 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
It's like a big building made to float and travel on water. But it's a building with a central park and lots of rooms and amazing views of the high seas. Royal Caribbean International has built the biggest cruise ship ever made. And you can imagine there are some challenges to setting sail such a behemoth in turbulent economic waters. Here's Marketplace's Rico Galliano.
The boat is called the Oasis of the Seas. It's a quarter of a mile long, with accommodations for over 6,000 passengers. The ship has seven areas Royal Caribbean calls neighborhoods, and CEO Adam Goldstein says that's not the only thing it has in common with the city. For example,
Our Central Park, which is the length of a football field and 19 meters wide, will have 12,000 plants and trees. There's an area called Boardwalk, and about 9 decks above Boardwalk, our guests will be able to zip wire across the open space diagonally.
Even Gottlieb seems to understand the whole thing sounds crazy.
You know that I said all of that with a straight face. Well, you don't know that because I'm on the radio, but I'm telling you that I said all of that with a straight face.
But he says cruise ships have been getting larger for years as passengers demand more choices of stuff to do on board. The boat made financial sense, too, when construction began 4 years ago in the middle of an economic boom. But launching a ship this size in a recession, some experts find that a little crazy.
I think the cruise line is thinking to itself, what have we done here?
Christopher Elliott is a travel writer and an ombudsman for National Geographic. He says Oasis of the Seas still has vacancies for its December holiday cruises, and unlike air travel, cruises don't tend to see a lot of late bookings.
A last-minute cruise booking is a booking that's done a month or two in advance. People normally book their cruises 6-7 months in advance. So they're off to a slow start.
Royal Caribbean's Adam Gottlieb admits the Oasis isn't full yet, but he insists the company is happy with ticket sales so far, given the economy. And even experts agree cruise lines are better poised than airlines to weather economic storms, since the price of a cruise covers meals and lodging.
A cruise is thought of as a value vacation because it's billed as an all-inclusive product. People are drawn to that during tough economic times.
Royal Caribbean certainly hopes so. It's set to launch a second, equally big boat next November. I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Finally, one glove company would like you to stay warm this winter while having your digits free to dial. A British company called Eta has come out with a brand of gloves specially designed for your iPhone. On one hand, the glove covers up 3 fingers, but it leaves the thumb and index finger exposed, allowing them to register on the touchpad while texting, emailing, or dialing. The gloves retail for $33. They come in different styles. And most of all, you can brag to all the skaters and punk rockers that your gloves cover more fingers than theirs. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.